This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning. Good morning to you. Glad you're with us this weekend on New Beginnings. We're coming really close to the end of the month. This is the last day of the month, and I'm so excited that you would join us. We're talking about new beginnings, and right now let's turn our attention to Joe McKenzie. He's our co-host on the program. He turns candidates into contenders, and he does that through a company called Ripple Connects. The website is rippleconnects.com. You can also reach Joe McKenzie by phone. He does a great job in really connecting you to your best self, and we'll explain that. 763-438-1621 is how you can reach him. And Joe McKenzie, good morning. I'm glad you're with us today.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. I'm ready to talk to you about a really exciting topic. And it's, for lack of a better title, we're talking about small wins. And I think a lot of people, we're in this mindset, you know, in the TikTok age and Facebook age, that we're looking for that big splash. We want to put out a post that will go viral, or we want to have that key conversation if we're looking for a job opportunity that will just make that employer think that we are the creme de la creme. But sometimes it's not that big word or that big post or that big conversation. It can be, I'm just going to ask you, could it be something as simple as a return phone call, Joe McKenzie?
Absolutely, because that return phone call may mean some interest in you as a candidate. That return phone call may be setting up a networking meeting with someone you've never met before but has insights into this organization. It could be a return phone call for clarification on your resume. It could be someone that is going to be able to move the needle in your job search. So to just simply say, someone returned my call and that's it, that's the wrong approach. That's a small win. Do you agree with me, Freddie? That's a small win that could lead to something bigger and better and more meaningful in regards to your job search.
Absolutely. On the other side, a no return call could mean something completely different. But the fact that someone decided to pick up a telephone, especially in today's technology, and call you or leave a message for you, that's exciting. What are some other examples of small wins that that often go overlooked, Joe McKenzie?
When you're able to, say, work with someone within your network or your trusted bench of advocates, and they introduce you to a new person, a like-minded person that wants to help you, we never want to discount it as, oh, it's just one more person. It's I'm so tired in networking, blah, blah, blah. But if one of your advocates or someone that knows you introduces you to somebody else that may be in a completely different zip code, industry, stage of career, you name it, that one person may open doors in the hidden job market, the advertised job market, may even just get you on to a new resource or a new insight to the industry you want to target. So once again, oh, I have one meeting next week with someone I never met, but my advocate said they wanted to meet you. If you carry that mindset versus, and you told me this 7 years ago, imagine the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, imagine the possibilities of sitting down with this person to potentially uncover something in the hidden job market or made aware of something that's advertised, new resource, growth, what have you. That's a small win, right?
It is. It's interesting that some of the biggest inspirations come from some of the smallest meetings. When you mentioned scheduled network meetings, I can recall being in a conversation with someone and it was completely off topic, but the idea that came forth was something that was really able to move me forward in my own career in exponential ways. So I think just making sure that you're open and listening during that networking meeting that you're scheduled or not scheduled can have some really big implications. And that could be, that small win could be a really huge win for you over time.
That's exactly right, Freddie. You just don't know. once again, you've always told me, imagine the possibilities. Mm-hmm. But what if, because you sit down with this person, and maybe that's the first time they've met you. You've been told to that person from someone that you know, but all of a sudden you talk about one area or a common area that you've worked together on or a common problem. And they start to realize, wow, this Freddie Bell, he's that person that's going to, what he just said is exactly what my another person I know is trying to fill.
Mm-hmm.
I can guarantee you nothing will happen if you don't follow through with that networking meeting. But I can guarantee you that there may be something that could happen if you do follow through with it. And that is the mindset of a small win, is, you know, to have those networking meetings, even just someone introducing a new resource to you, a website, an article that uncovers an area that you want to focus on, or a transferable skill that you didn't even realize you had. One of my friends once said, people know you, see you differently than you see yourself. And they may see a leadership quality or a collaborative quality, emotional intelligence quality that you don't even see in yourself. And if they talk about that with you, you might be in a better position to use that going forward. Think about that, Freddie. If you uncovered a new transferable skill from someone that said, hey, when you're in a leadership mode in this type of crisis situation, you're at your best. Well, what if you could take that piece of information, refine it, think about it, curate the right examples of how you've done that, and now you're using it in a job interview setting or in a networking meeting, because someone that knows you sees that quality. Is that not a small win that could turn into something much larger if you use it?
That is huge, because what that individual is doing is helping you to see a side of you that has been there, but you may not have recognized, just because we're into our own pattern day after day, time after time.
Yes, that's a small win, but often that you don't see it coming, but I will chalk that up as a small win if someone says, I never saw myself as that. A crisis manager. No one's ever said that to me before, but because of the last year and a half due to COVID, the way I led this team or led this nonprofit or what have you, I didn't realize I had crisis management qualities. But just realizing that you have those examples that you could use, now you're gaining traction towards something bigger. So there's that small win that started with someone introducing it to you. But now you're taking it to another level. So the next networking meeting, that next interview that you're at, you start curating those examples of your crisis management leadership qualities and what you did. See how a small win just turns into something a lot bigger.
Exactly. So how do you curate that? How do you know, how do you bring it all together to make this small win into something that can be really tangible and meaningful for your career?
I think you reflect upon what that person has told you. And in this case, you know, you refine it. You find those examples that you had in the past, and you talk about it. You refine it with others, you know, in regards to a transferable skill. But every small win needs to be followed through upon. Okay, it can't be just, hey, I got this win. I got this phone call. Everything needs to be worked towards as far as you can go with it if you can. And then again, having that imagine the possibilities mindset, that phone call might lead to another small win or a series of small wins. Really, the mindset is to continue that, we get that momentum going with small wins and carry it to as far as you can go with it and see what offshoots from it.
Wow. Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. This week, we're talking about just small wins and why small wins are important. Do you have an example how a small win has changed your life or added a different value to the work that you're doing today, Joe McKenzie?
I do. The fact of the matter is, a few years ago, I wrote my own self-marketing plan, and I got it. And I got that self-marketing plan at the right time to the right person who was able to recommend me for a leadership position that I was seeking in the Minnesota nonprofit sector. And it had happened 6 months before I got hired, but I remember distinctly that meeting I had with this person, and that person was able to advocate for me. And so I've benefited. At the time, it was a small win, but I was encouraged. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know how all this was going to play out. And it played out where I was the candidate they selected. And here I am.
What a nice bow to put on this discussion this week. And that's just yet another example of the fine work you do at Ripple Connects, Joe McKenzie.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
And you're listening to New Beginnings, and our program continues right now.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Breakthrough, knowing that you can accomplish great things. That's our point of focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
What's the secret to any achievement? Is it wanting something enough or deserving something more than another person? It's neither one of those. You experience a true breakthrough to achievement when you're able to move past simple wanting and striving to a powerful belief that you can reach your goals. You break through the barriers of negative thinking, thinking that you can't do something or don't deserve something. You can accomplish great things. Do you want to end some negative habit or begin a positive one? Then you can. You can because you believe that you've got the power to move forward, to break through to great achievement. It's this belief that empowers you to do great things. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
As we continue on New Beginnings this weekend, please welcome to our program Dr. Anna Durbin. She works in the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health and is the global disease epidemiologist and control professor. Doctor, welcome to the show. There's a lot of conversation about the vaccines, of course, and now there's talk in the last several days about booster shots. First of all, what is a booster shot and what does that entail?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, there has been a lot in the news. And the booster shot is really sort of a nudge to your immune system to say, hey, remember me, gear up, let's make more antibodies, let's be ready in case we see the infection. So a true booster shot is the same vaccine that you got earlier. Generally, it can be months earlier or years earlier. And it's not unusual for vaccines to require a booster shot. We get a tetanus booster shot every 10 years. The question is, for COVID, do we need a booster? And if we need a booster, when will that be? And will that, quote, third shot or booster shot be the same exact vaccine that we got earlier? So these are all of the different questions that are swirling around in the media right now, I would say. And I want to make it, you know, really clear. I think the decision around booster shots won't be made by the pharmaceutical company. The decision around booster shots should be based on data. And, you know, the data to tell us our immune systems are no longer adequately controlling the infection. And I think what we're seeing in data that's being generated in different parts of the world, even around the Delta variant, is that these vaccines are very highly protective against severe COVID, hospitalization, and death due to COVID. And I think the point that I always like to make is that the best way that we can control COVID and control the generation of these new variants and variants of concern is to get as many people in the world vaccinated as possible. So right now, based on the data that we have, to me, it makes far more sense, far greater sense, to provide the rest of the world with as many doses of vaccines as we possibly can. The United States right now does not need booster shots. The data do not support booster shots. The CDC is not recommending booster shots. Now, that may change with time. It's not that we may never need a booster shot, but the data right now are telling us that we don't need a booster shot at this time, and I think those doses can be better utilized in other parts of the world.
Doctor, do you think people will get the shot once the FDA gives its approval?
Yeah, that is a great question. And I want to clarify by saying I don't think there is really a holdup. I think the FDA is following their normal process. So for vaccines specifically, the FDA generally requires 6 full months of safety data following the last dose of vaccine. So if you remember, these vaccines were approved in mid to late December. So that means that 6 months following the second dose generally would have occurred in April, May of this year, possibly June. The company has to acquire all of that safety data. And they also have to look at the data that has been generated post-emergency use authorization. So not just in people who received the vaccine as part of a clinical trial. They're going to evaluate reports to the vaccine adverse event reporting system, adverse events that have come in to those companies, their safety monitoring from people who have received the vaccine under emergency use authorization. They have to acquire a lot of data from that safety data and make sure that it is a complete data set and that they've gone through it and they've extracted any questions, queries, concerns that they think the FDA should address. And the FDA will then go through those data and see if they have questions, require more information, that sort of thing. I think the other thing that's important to note is that the FDA, in part of their full approval, looks not only at safety and efficacy data, but also looks at manufacturing. So can this company produce the same vaccine over and over and over again to ensure that the quality of production is there? So the companies have to produce generally at least three different lots of vaccine and show that the potency of the vaccine, the quality of the vaccine is consistent from lot to lot to lot. And that gives the consumer the assurance that any product, any vaccine that they get is going to be potent, is going to be safe, is going to be effective. And I think if they went too quickly and didn't go through that process and really evaluate all the data, then the criticism would be you rushed it through. You know, the fact of the matter is people can get vaccine if they want to get vaccinated. They're able to get vaccinated. The full approval, waiting for full approval is not preventing people from vaccination. It is true some people will feel more comfortable with vaccination. But I think a good discussion between individuals and their physicians, shared decision making, could alleviate some of those concerns. We have given these vaccines to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of people. people. The safety data are there. People should feel comfortable taking these vaccines. But I do think it's important that the FDA follow their process and not shorten it, because down the line, I think that could ensue criticism. And some people would say, well, look, they were rushed to approve. They didn't use their full process. So I'm not going to take the vaccine because it didn't go through the full approval process. I think we'll have approval, hopefully in the fall sometime, definitely by the end of the year. And people can take the vaccine with extreme confidence. I think people could take the vaccine with confidence now, but I think if they're waiting for that full approval, it's important that that process be followed.
We're talking with Dr. Anna Durbin. She is from the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. She's an epidemiologist. There are a lot of new vaccines being tested. Why do we need more?
Yeah, so I think that's a great point. I mean, one, the major reason is we still don't have enough vaccine to vaccinate the world. So we need more doses out there. And we can't keep up with demand right now in terms of the production of the mRNA vaccines, the adenovirus vectored vaccine, J&J, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Pfizer. We don't have enough doses. We need more. And so if we can supplement the market with different effective vaccines, I think that will be important. The other issue is that there are some vaccines people may not feel comfortable taking an mRNA vaccine. The Novavax vaccine uses a technology that's more similar to previous vaccines, so people may be more comfortable with that type of technology. But I really think the more product that we have that are safe and effective, the faster we're going to get the world vaccinated. We can increase the supply and get more people vaccinated. I think as more products come onto the market, you'll see other products sort of go away. So I would not be surprised, for instance, that some of the less effective vaccines, for instance, the killed or inactivated vaccines that are currently made in China, they may be supplemented by vaccines like the Novavax vaccine or other mRNA vaccines that come onto the market. Because if they're more effective, they'll probably be used more widely. But right now, my advice to people around the world is if you have a vaccine available to you, please, please take it. Even if it may be somewhat less effective, even the inactivated vaccines have shown pretty good efficacy against severe COVID and death. And it certainly is better to receive an inactivated or a killed vaccine than it is to receive no vaccine. But as more products, as more vaccines come onto the market, we'll be able to vaccinate more people. And we may be able to, as I said, replace less effective vaccines with those that are more effective.
And I would think the Novavax is something that we're used to, correct?
Exactly. And people may feel more comfortable with that. Exactly right.
That's Anna Durbin from the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. She is a global disease and epidemiologist. And you're listening to New Beginnings. Hi, everybody. Before we step aside to go to our next segment on New Beginnings, it's always a pleasure. And we do want to let you know that we do enjoy bringing you the program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. If you'd like more information about any of the programs that you hear from our experts and our list of people who are directly involved in the work that we share with you at New Beginnings, we invite you to call me at 888-639-9738. Now, you didn't know that telephone number was going to come at you so quickly. Here's that number once again, 888-639-9738. Also, you can go to my webpage. It's simply Freddie Bell, F-R-E-D-D-I-E-B-E-L-L, FreddieBell.com, and click on the radio page, and it'll take you to New Beginnings. And there you can find this week's program and programs actually for the last 5 years. You can find that information right there on our website, simply FreddieBell.com. Here's the telephone number again, 888-639-9738. There are many people like me who don't have a problem just picking up the telephone and calling. If you'd like to email me, it's simply Freddie@FreddieBell.com. F-R-E-D-D-I-E. Freddie@FreddieBell.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if there are topics that you'd like for us to discuss that you haven't heard yet on New Beginnings, we'd love to entertain that thought. Still to come, we have more great information for you as we continue our program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. Again, FreddieBell.com. The telephone number, 888-639-9738. We always enjoy hearing from you, and thank you for making New Beginnings a point at listening each week right here.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And joining us now is the Associate State Director for Community Engagement for AARP Minnesota, Jay Hampala. Jay, good morning and welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Freddie. It's always a great time to talk with you on the radio.
I know that you've got quite the reputation in the communities now with the work that you're doing with fraud and scams and so forth. And I would imagine that the fraud hotline, the Fraud Watch Network, is really active right now.
Yeah, that's right. We run this program to help keep people safe from financial fraud. And so it's a network, and we work with investigators, and we take reports of scams from all over the country, and then we share that information with the public so all of us can stay a step ahead of the con artists. And it's bad out there now. People are losing a lot of money to these scams. There's always something new to look out for.
Well, what's the biggest concern right now? I know that giving up your personal information is a concern, but is there something that we should really pay attention to right now, Jay Hampala?
Well, what I read about, and it actually happened to me, there was recently a big data breach at a technology company, and a lot of people, millions of people, had their online account passwords stolen. Mm-hmm. So these could be your bank, it could be your email account, your social media accounts, and everything else. I got a notification on my phone from Google that a few of my accounts were compromised in the data breach. And so how I reacted to that was I went into those accounts and I changed my password. And then I did some other important ones that I didn't get notified about. So it's important to know, if you get some kind of alert like that that says your account was compromised, don't click on that link. Don't click on that. That could be a fake one set up to get you to provide some information. Instead, you go online to your email account, to your bank account, log in, and change your passwords from there.
Well, that's huge. Everyone, Jay Hampala this weekend talking with us about data breaches and so forth. So when it comes to passwords, is there a guideline that you would suggest to our listeners?
Yeah, I have some tips about your passwords, and bigger is better. So the most important thing is to have a long password. Now, we're doing math here on the radio. I can't even visualize the numbers, but I'll try to explain. If you look at your computer keyboard, there's about 90 different keys that you can use to make a password. If you make a six-letter password and you do the math, that's about 500 billion different options. But if your password is 12, then we're talking a really big number. To get to that number, you would count from 1 to 500 billion, and then you'd have to do that another 500 billion times. So the computer can count pretty fast, and the computers that these scammers use to crack people's passwords are strong. But if you count to 500 billion times, that's a pretty big number. And so that's why we recommend people actually use a passphrase instead of a password. Think of a sentence like, "My cat is named Fluffy." And then to meet the requirements from the website, you got to have a symbol in there and you have to have a number. So maybe change the A to an at symbol and the I to the number one. And now you have a really long password that's easy to remember and makes it harder for anyone to break into your account.
Wow. So how often should you change your passwords, even with a long one like that? My cat's name is Fluffy.
Yeah, you know, the more frequently you change it, the better, but mm-hmm. that's not reasonable to change. You know, you change it every so often. I say about quarterly. If you hear about a data breach, then it's time to change your passwords. But if you think of a holiday like Memorial Day or Labor Day, 4th of July, you know, Christmas time, and change it at those times, that's a good way to remember. And some people use password managers so they don't have to remember all of these different passwords that they have. I can't recommend one to you, you know, out there today. But if you go online and look in a publication like Consumer Reports, they'll have some reviews of different password managers that remember them for you on your device. And just make sure it's one that's well known that you pick.
That's really great information. And finally, are there any other scams that you're monitoring right now, Jay?
Yeah, this summer we've been hearing about a lot of travel scams. And I think because people hadn't been traveling, now more people feel comfortable traveling. And people are looking online for vacation rentals and good deals on hotels and maybe some plane tickets. And scammers are making fake posts with these beautiful properties out at the lake or on the ocean. But it's really low price. And the scammers pay money so that their search engine will show people these scam postings of these great properties at the top of the list. But they really could be fake, and they're just to steal your information and money. And one dead giveaway is that if they require some kind of a payment other than a credit card, like a gift card, a wire transfer, even bitcoins that they want to get paid with, that's a big red flag. So we encourage people, if you see a posting about an online vacation rental, that you do a use some words from the posting and you use the word scam, do an internet search and see what it has to say.
Wow. And if our listeners have any more questions or have questions about the details that you've covered today, can you give us that Fraud Watch number or the website?
Yes, sir. So the number that people can call anytime to get some help from a live person trying to figure out what's a scam or not, or maybe they've been victimized, they need to get some help, it's 877-908-3360.
Mm-hmm. And also, would AARP.org lead you to some of this information to if you've forgotten that number today?
Yeah, that's right. So if you think just doing a search on the internet, search for AARP and Fraud Watch Network, you're going to find us online.
All right. Jay, I can't thank you for enough for being with us this weekend. Jay Hampala, the Associate State Director for Community Engagement for AARP Minnesota, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities. Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. I'm so excited that you're with us this weekend on New Beginnings. And as we continue, a team of behavioral researchers at Morningstar, using a survey from a University of Chicago survey, quantified how four biases lead people to have less in savings, more debt, and lower credit scores. Interesting. Based on survey responses, 1,200 participants were sorted into three buckets. One, financially vulnerable. Two, financially coping. Or three, healthy. Any of these sound familiar? Loss aversion bias, when an investment falls below what we paid for it, our inclination is, rather than carefully reassess whether it remains a viable investment or not, to tell ourselves, I'll sell it when it gets back to my purchase price. What makes you believe it's going to bounce back? People afflicted with loss aversion bias were 1.5 times more likely to be in the vulnerable group than those with lower loss aversion. Overconfidence bias, we're often convinced when we are smarter than we are. Though decades of data has shown that most professional money managers won't beat the market, billions of dollars remain invested in actively managed mutual funds. It's overconfidence for most of us to believe that we have better information than others. Researchers found that people with a high level of overconfidence were 2.5 times more likely to land in the vulnerable group and 3.5 times less likely to save for retirement. We're talking about how personal biases can affect your investing, and then present bias. Delayed gratification isn't easy. Think about that. A dollar spent today on something that brings us pleasure is so much more enticing than stuffing that dollar into a retirement account that we won't use for decades. People who struggle the most with present bias were almost 2 times more likely to be in the vulnerable group. Low present bias people, though, are 7.5 times more likely to plan ahead for their future. Base rate neglect bias. These are people who can get swept away by a new piece of information that compels us to make a decision that we otherwise wouldn't if we carefully considered the probability of that piece of information being correct or useful. Participants in the bucket of a high level of base rate neglect were 1.75 times more likely to be financially vulnerable. To overcome present bias, automate your savings. To avoid getting caught up in new information, limit your risky behavior. And then finally, carve out just 5% of your investments for day trading, according to the experts, and wild ideas. Two other steps could include slow down and talk to a financial planner with an eye on the long term. And what about those bad labels? How can they affect trust in investors? All natural, eco-friendly, and green, we've seen it before. Food, home goods, and clothing companies have all jumped on the sustainable bandwagon, and it's not just because of their undying devotion to the environment. According to the 2019 Accenture Chemicals Global Consumer Sustainability Survey, more than half of consumers surveyed would pay more for sustainable, meaning recyclable or reusable products. But not every company is genuine in its pursuits of a cleaner planet or more equitable society. And making false or misleading claims about greenness can affect investor trust. Greenwashing is a misrepresentation of a product, service, or investment, making something appear to be more sustainable than it actually is. Environmental, social, and governance criteria are at the heart of ESG investing, which has grown significantly in popularity over the last several years. ESG criteria are factors that measure an investment's sustainability. Unfortunately, with the rise of consumer and investor interest in ESG comes the rise in greenwashing. This can lead some businesses, such as oil companies, to be included in funds that investors may not have expected. Critics have also called ESG and other forms of sustainable investing marketing ploys or scams, noting that sustainability is just a trend that companies are trying to capitalize on. One reason why greenwashing has been able to slip through the cracks when it comes to investment securities is that there are numerous ESG data providers. And because sustainable companies offer ESG evaluations, it can be difficult to know which ones to trust. Greenwashed investments, or investments not being what they claim, was the biggest concern for 44% of investors when it comes to ESG investing, that according to recent research from Quilter, a UK-based wealth management service. The field of sustainable investing is still relatively new, and while industry-wide standardization may still be a long time coming, there are ways to increase the green in your portfolio and hopefully your wallet. ESG funds usually publish impact reports, allowing investors to see real-world changes their investment dollars are making. Robo-advisors offer automated ESG investment portfolios, and so if you'd like professional help, you can also work with a financial advisor, of course, who has a chartered SRI counselor certification, which is a designation program designed to teach the best practices for socially responsible investing. You're listening to New Beginnings, and our program continues right now.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings Podcast today.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
Patty Changi was the one that prepared our grant application, which is funded by the Templeton Foundation. A great individual who appreciated as a young man what he learned from Unity. And therefore, he blesses our movement with funded grants, one of which helped us with our audiovisual system. So thank you to the Templeton Foundation. And thank you, Patty, for putting together that grant application that was successful. So we are part of this bigger family. And when we look around in this room, sometimes we might think, well, this is all there is to Unity South. You're all quite charming, but still, this is all there is to Unity South. But it isn't. We're connected to this bigger family through our prayer work and prayer consciousness and our prayer chaplains. We're connected to the greatest department of Unity, Silent Unity, who prays and supports millions of people through phone calls, letters, and online prayer requests 24/7, every day of the year, for now almost 130 years. An ongoing prayer that has never ceased in all those years. I like to remind myself when I pray with the daily word or pray with Silent Unity or turn to them for prayer support, that their ongoing prayer was active in the busy 1990s, in those amazing 1960s. Yes, I was alive then. Not all of you were. In the 50s, during World War II, during the Great Depression, during the Roaring Twenties, during World War I, at the beginning of the 20th century, and a few years before that, Silent Unity and its staff was holding prayer, supporting others, supporting our centers around the country. That's a great power. There is great power over time. And when something is consistent, think about your own body. There's great power you derive from your heart that beats. It doesn't decide, well, it's Tuesday, I'm going to take the day off. Or, I don't know, I'm a little tired this morning. I'm not going to beat in James's heart. No, it's consistent. It keeps going. And there is power in that consistency. Back to our convention. There was great interest. I participated in a workshop of about representatives of about 130 churches, a workshop on developing hybrid church. If you're not familiar, hybrid is this new word for both in-person service, worship, and people joining us online through the wonders of technology. That is hybrid ministry. And so we explored and shared ideas, what we were doing at Unity South, what other churches are doing. We're ahead of the curve in some respects. Many people compliment us and appreciate the quality of our video and sound online. Some other centers are struggling with that. Recently, friends from our Unity Church in Eau Claire asked if they could come here and if Adam could show them the system he designed and how it worked, because they were struggling and they weren't happy with the quality of their online presence. And so we tried to help them. And then we, in turn, receive help or ideas from other ministries around the country that are perhaps a little more advanced in their hybrid experience than we are, and how they are connecting, which I hope we will grow into, with our friends online. We know your names and where you are, but we want to get to know you better. We want to be of more assistance to you. We want to share with you information about our church, perhaps a digital gift. That's something we're thinking about, but a way to connect, a way to establish online membership. What would it look like for people who consistently watch our services online, but perhaps they live in Wyoming or Connecticut? Is there a way, if they choose, to become a member of Unity South, even though they may never physically enter this church? But they believe in what we teach, they want to be a part of it, and they want to support it. So could they have a membership? These are just some of the ideas going around in Unity circles of building something beyond our walls, building a greater family for Unity South through technology. Of course, as you can imagine, one of the other points in the convention was ministries helping and sharing ideas. How do we get beyond what we experienced in the pandemic, where some of our activities slowed down almost to a stop. How do we get them rebooted, restarted? How do we rebuild our youth education program as children weren't able to physically come for more than a year to our church? How do we restart that? And so the ministries shared with one another different ideas and different ways that they were working with these issues. A third point, a relatively new one, is the Earth Care Program of Unity Worldwide Ministries, a specific program that ministries like ours can enter with a curriculum or procedure to say, in Unity, in our church, we believe in the value of life, and we do not limit that to the human being. We want to honor that life in nature, in the world in which we live. And what does that look like? How could the church encourage its members in recycling, in care of the natural environment, in learning? Now, we've already started. Most of you know that in the past couple of years, we've been able to convert all of our lighting to much more efficient LED lighting. The state helped us with those smart thermostats around the building, where we can more accurately control our energy usage in heating and cooling. I can even control those by my phone at home. So if somebody calls me and says, I'm having a class, Reverend Stacy, it's a little bit cool, by my phone, I can change the temperature anywhere in our building.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. For Joe McKenzie, this is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. We'll see you next week and online. Goodbye, everybody.